Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Good Fight Podcast, Season 4, Episode 4. And as you can probably tell, this isn't Brian, this is Denver. So it's been a little while since I've been on the podcast, and just in a few minutes, we'll have Brian come back on, and he will talk about this episode to come and what you're in, what's in store for you. But for now, like I said, I am back. It's been a pretty busy season for me, which is why I haven't been on the podcast. Busy most days and evenings. I just finished about 5 days ago my student teaching, teaching geography and psychology to freshmen, high school freshmen, and high school seniors. So it was a great experience. Learned a lot, but it did take up a lot of my time. So now I am just awaiting my graduation. Since my student teaching is over, I graduate on April 25th, and so I have this kind of period of downtime in which I'm going to spend a lot of time looking for jobs and a lot of time praying where the Lord wants me. So really, that the two locations that seem like possibilities right now are staying in Cedar City, Utah, and moving back to California. Those are the options that are on the table. So just really praying, and I would really appreciate prayer on that as well. So this new season for me is, you know, like I said, looking for jobs, and though it's a little bit nerve-wracking, it's also really exciting to see what the Lord has in store for me, and so just been doing a lot of praying on that. So I would appreciate prayer. So thank you. And there's just been one thing that's been on my heart probably the past couple of years, and I think I've detailed it on the podcast, but it's just the amount of people that are really not interested in voting, and that's been an issue with, you know, the people that are close to me as well. And I know Brian and I have talked about it a lot as well, and in our personal lives have made strives to have conversations with people about this. And it just seems that, you know, as we enter what seems to be a tumultuous political season, and all the stakes that are presenting themselves, especially here in 2024, you know, we have to have all hands on deck. And yeah, the vote counts, but up until then, there's so much that we can do. You probably saw recently, roughly a week ago, that President Biden had this fundraiser that former President Obama and former President Clinton attended, and was moderated by Stephen Colbert. Why Stephen Colbert? I don't know. I think there probably could have been somebody maybe a little bit more qualified to moderate that, but nevertheless, you know, raised $25, $26 million in that event. And so that alone tells you what we're up against. The power and the money and everything behind that on the opposing side. And so if we are not vigilant, if we are not totally focused and doing everything we can to garner resources, have conversations with people about voting, and having conversations with people who are on the other side of the aisle, and trying to reason with them, this is absolutely the time to do it. Really, it should be year-round every year that we you know, need to be on this front. But, you know, in these election years, it seems all more important. So that's what's been on my heart, and this election season, I'm going to really strive to do my part and pray about how God wants me to do that. But gosh, I do need to do something, and I implore everybody to do the same, because, you know, you can say all the cliches you want, you know, but time is of the essence, and, you know, we have until November, and, you know, I don't know what America could look like, you know, another 4 years under Biden. Well, it's unlikely it'll be all under Biden. Maybe, you know, some of it might be Kamala if Biden wins, because who knows if he can last that long, let's just be honest. But it's a very serious time, and so I think we should all be praying about what exactly God wants us to do and how we can do it. You know, that's what's been on my heart. But I will turn over the time now to Brian. he will introduce what is going to happen in this episode.
Thank you, Denver.
I hope, I'm sure you agree with me that it's wonderful to hear his voice and have him back. We happen to be here together in my studio at my house and visiting, and that's very nice. So, and thank you for your prayers for him. Keep on praying for the place the Lord would have him have a job and place him. And we know God's been faithful, and he's going to continue to be faithful. After a little break in just a second, I'm going to be talking about Christian nationalism and just kind of what that we need to be prepared to have that label or have that mud thrown at us and what it means when that's happening, and yet how we probably shouldn't be calling ourselves that. And yet it really underscores what Denver is saying. If this election is no slam dunk, it's going to be a tough slog, and the enemy is going to put everything forth that he possibly can, and we need to be ready for it, including the awful names and pejoratives, and we need to know how to best be able to manage that and to keep on fighting, because if it's going to happen, it will be God's doing along with us doing our duty. So, well, we'll take a little break, and I'll come back and talk a little bit more about that. But once again, Denver, great to have you here, and we wish you God's best and blessing in these next few weeks, this next chapter. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 4 of the Good Fight Podcast, where we're talking about, are we Christian nationalists? So it was sure great to hear from Denver in that last segment, and to kind of get an idea of what's going on with him and be able to pray. And we're really wishing him all the best here. First of all, I'd love to ask everybody, how are you doing on your list from last time? I gave you 9 things last time that we could consider as something to do in this process. So number one on the list was considering Christ. So if you don't know Christ, have you considered him? How perfect is Holy Week and the Easter season for that, talking about his resurrection and stuff? Have you been reading the Bible? Have you picked a podcast to listen to? Is it Wall Builders or Charlie Kirk or Lisa Childers? Would love to know that. Just drop an email. I'd love to know what you've been listening to and what you're thinking about it. What are you doing every day to remind yourself that there's a war on, so that we don't get comfortable and complacent in our day-to-day lives? I think all these things are good things to consider. And so just keep working on that list, and look up last week's session if you didn't get it before, and we'll try to make it work for all of us and work out better for our country and our culture. There's one thing, sure, it's going to cost some time and effort and money. But for me and my grandchildren, it's worth it. I'm hearing more and more people, a lot of people my age, saying that, that their retirement dreams or life dreams and plans have been interrupted and changed because of their passion for the country and their families and their need to stay in the fight. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and Dr. Ben Carson are two of the famous ones. Just in this last week, I've heard talk about that. And I am certainly in that category. And so just wondering, what about you? What about us? What are we willing to sacrifice for the long-term good of the country? So talking about Christian nationalism. Now, the left is getting a lot of mileage out of throwing that term around. And some Christians are even embracing it. So what should be our posture? Should we reject that label, or should we embrace that label? So I want to address both of those things. Bottom line, the main purpose of the left's use of this is to lump all of us together under a derogatory label. It just like MAGA Republicans. It really, when you ask them to define it, the definition is so unclear. That's not their purpose at all. So the first thing I really like to encourage us is that we should not be silenced by this tactic and embarrassed that, oh, I don't want to be called a Christian nationalist, so I'm not going to say anything. That's the purpose of them calling us that, is to try to silence us. And so So let's not be silenced about that. And we need to openly push the people that are talking to us or talking about that towards giving us a definition. What do you think Christian nationalism is? And clarify what they mean. Now, at the same time, I don't really think that we should embrace that term ourselves either. It kind of opens us up to being identified with a very small minority, but the people whose ideas are not helpful and even scary and harmful. So we don't want to do that. So in a little bit, we'll expand a little bit on that. I want to play a short clip for you. That's a little bit over a minute. So, but there is a reporter on the left that's slinging mud at us with her confusing description of Christian nationalists. So listen to that clip, and we'll come back in a second and kind of unpack it a little bit. Here's the clip.
Hear words like Christian nationalism, like the new apostolic reformation. These are groups that you should get very schooled on, because they have a lot of power in Trump's circle. And the one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. The problem with that is that they are determining men, mm-hmm. there it is,
yeah,
men,
yeah.
are determining what God is telling them. And in the past, that so-called natural law is, you know, it's a pillar of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Catholicism, for instance, has been used for good in social justice campaigns. Right. Martin Luther King evoked it in talking about civil rights. But now you have an extremist element of conservative Christians who say that this applies specifically to issues including abortion, gay marriage, and it's going much further than that.
Wow. How about that? We're Christian nationalists if we think our rights come from God and not from people, not from men. My goodness. It points out how utterly ignorant and frankly stupid the arguments of the left have to be. Is she not aware of the Declaration of Independence, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights? That it's our the government's job to secure those rights and not to grant them. And so, wow. So what do you think? Benjamin Franklin's a Christian nationalist? So very problematic. But it really gives a good picture into some of the rhetoric that's going on out there, how useless it is, how we need to be prepared for it and not afraid of it and not silenced by it. It also helps us realize how vague and emotional this kind of mudslinging is. The discussion we're having here today is totally lost on them, but it can be very useful for us. Their rhetoric always plays to the emotions and seeks to divide us in us versus them. Those Christian nationalists, those MAGA Republicans, those Jews, those Danish people like me, whatever. You fill in the blank. So we're going to seek to inform our sound minds today to be wise as we engage these false ideas of the left, while we want to keep our hearts soft to those who truly are open to dialogue and the gospel, because there are still some people that are open, and there are ways that we can try to discern who are the open ones and to seek to bring them out and to try to persuade them. All right, let's dig in. Two main resources today: Elisa Childers podcast and Albert Mohler podcast, both very good. I'll take little snippets of each one and kind of let you know some of the major points. But first of all, it's always good to define terms. In fact, I always encourage you in your dialogue with others to use questions to draw people out. Make them define their own terms. And that will give you information to help you decide the best way to respond to them, and also kind of buy you a little bit of time while they're defining their terms, if even they can. Okay, so Albert Mohler gives a good working definition for how we should think about that term Christian nationalist. So, Tim, Christian nationalism is the idolatrous fusion of the nation and the gospel. Once again, Christian nationalism is the idolatrous fusion of the nation and the gospel. Now, even some of these words need definition. Okay, idolatry is basically worshiping something other than the one living and true God, as he's revealed in the Bible. So, in other words, Christian nationalism means fusing or inseparably combining the nation with God's plan of salvation. Or, to kind of put it a little more simply, being a good Christian, according to Christian nationalism, means supporting the nation no matter what. So, and here's Moeller's quote about it, that Christian nationalism means that the nation, not the church, becomes the proper vessel for God's providential plan and his promise of covenantal blessings. So number one on my list about considering the Christian gospel is written specifically to counter this. It's an insidious and dangerous idea. God and his plan of salvation is first and foremost the most important thing, that he calls anyone and everyone to him for their forgiveness of sins. It's totally separate from our love and allegiance to any political power. And that relationship with him and our eternal soul is the only thing that will last into eternity. The Bible says that there will be people in heaven from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Jesus prayed that all that belonged to him would be united as one. And so that's the primary thing. In fact, it gives me great pause to think about how ununited so many in the Christian community seem to be. And I really want to be sensitive to that as I really look at differences in the way even Christians are thinking about these matters. And yet I think it calls for great discernment and holding political principles and ideas and outcomes up to the grid of Scripture and see how they compare. Now, according to Moeller's definition, a Christian nationalist should not be what we want to be or how we should identify ourselves. We should not call ourselves Christian nationalists. Now, this is because there are some groups out there, and the reporter in the clip mentioned one of them, the New Apostolic Reformation, that believe problematic things about trying to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Now, that's a biblical concept that will happen at some point, but not ultimately until after Christ comes again. And we're not there yet. In the meantime, we have to live amongst all kinds of different people. Now, the Childers broadcast goes into this in a lot more detail. And if you're interested in that, I encourage you to listen to both of these podcasts. But that one will go into more deeply about some of these groups and what they believe. Now, some people, even that we respect, like Charlie Kirk at one point, he was one of them that was seeking to redefine Christian nationalism in a positive light and call himself a proud Christian nationalist. Now, while he's well-meaning and he's a great guy and you know, on our side when it comes to these things, does so many great things, it identifying ourselves with that makes it way too easy for us to be lumped in with some truly bad actors and ideas, including some awful racist things and things we don't want to be involved with. So there's no use handing ammunition to our enemies to use against us. they'll find plenty of their own to try to use. So that's the negative. So if we don't want to refer to ourselves as Christian nationalists, well, what are we then? Well, the first thing is we need to remember is not to stop speaking out for what we see and believe is clearly right, to not be intimidated. This is the goal of the left in using the term in the first place is to make us confused and silence us. We can't let them get away with this. So in order to help us with that, how do we identify ourselves or how should we think of ourselves then if we're not Christian nationalists? Here's some insights into the two podcasts have to say. So from Moeller's podcast, he warns us that nationalism of any stripe is always a clear and present danger. The idea of my country right or wrong has gotten a lot of people in a lot of trouble. We need to be grounded in something some eternal truth, not the political winds of any particular country, even ours. Secondly, he affirms that proper patriotism is far different than that definition of Christian nationalism. It's perfectly biblical in its proper place, and I think that's what virtually all of us in our audience are coming. That's where we're coming down. Certainly Denver and I are, and that's what we're advocating for. Now, he goes on to say that it's perfectly reasonable that there should be public consequences, and don't think of that in a negative light, public consequences to Christian truth and Christian faith in society. So consequences just mean outcomes. So there should be reasonable consequences and positive consequences of following a Christian worldview, just as we're seeing the negative public consequences of wokeness, like the lawlessness in our cities, by not clamping down on crime, by letting people off and not charging people with very serious crimes and that kind of thing. There are consequences to that. Now, for Christians, we can celebrate a proper patriotism and be actively involved in the civic arena. That's a good thing and a good calling. We do recognize that there is a role for some nations in God's providential plan. You can look at that for nations biblically in the Old Testament and in prophecy. There's certain nations are mentioned as part of God's providential plan. And there's even room that certain nations can have an exceptional one. So I would say that the concept of American exceptionalism is something that can be discussed and weighed on its merits. And not overstressed, but the concept itself is one that is not automatically unbiblical, even though virtually everyone says that from everything we can tell, the United States is not included in any biblical prophecy whatsoever. So God, some nations are used for good and some nations are used for ill, but none of them is perfect. There's no such thing as utopia, which is that kind of pie in the sky thing that Marxism makes so much of. Marxism and wokeness and other Marxist type ideologies make so much of that there's no such thing of that. We have to put that idea to death. Our ultimate allegiance and identity is in Christ. Both podcasts emphasize this, under whose lordship we gladly serve, and that every earthly nation will eventually disappear and every empire will fall. Jesus promised that the gates of hell, however, will not prevail against his church. The church will survive. All right, on to the Childers podcast, some helpful things. Her guest, Neil Shenvey, points out that there are Christian nationalist groups out there that we have to be aware of because they would desire to even encourage a violent revolution in order to reestablish what they believe to be God's kingdom and order in America. Now, that's a very small fringe, but he points out, first of all, they don't know what they're wishing for. Okay, who of us would wish that on ourselves, our families? Okay, also, the American experiment isn't over yet. We still have all the mechanisms in place that we need to fix these if we'll only use them. And that's the purpose of this podcast, is to help each one of us figure out what is our place in this. They encourage us to work incrementally, work locally. Don't view everyone who disagrees with us as an enemy. That some people are persuadable out there that believe these things, but if they're presented with a loving and good argument, that they can be persuaded. And we'll talk more in future episodes about how we can identify those people and how groups, including Charlie Kirk's, who are out there really trying to do that. All right, so the guest, Neil Shenvey, also his main concern is wokeness in the church and the church and theology. So they're the ones that really clearly encourage us not to identify with Christian nationalism, but also not to identify with the term woke, not to try to consider us as being woke. And if we do that, we're sharing a tent with some very bad actors. Wokeness, the origin of it, is completely outside of Christian principles, Christian thought, the main line of that. And to try to bring that into church like some people are doing is a very bad thing. People are sacrificing sound theology and truth to unite around kind of a narrow view of social justice. And to point out, wokeness is about dividing and canceling people out as irredeemable. The gospel is all about uniting, about reasoning, about saving people, about reasonably persuading people. So I think that's a really good contrast that we need to remember and point out. Childers guest Neil Shenvey was concerned mainly about theology in the church, which seems to be his gift and calling, but they still affirm that you can't really be spiritual or biblical without being political. There are political consequences to sound theology. Okay, so our politics has to flow downhill from our theology. But when it does, perhaps some of us are gifted to speak in and live into this environment, into the civic realm. And so if you're resonating that way, that may be something that God is encouraging in. And if you're grounded and anchored in these things, we need to be able to come alongside you and embrace that. And to point out, all ideas originate from some kind of a worldview. And to look at the worldview that Marxism and wokeness and critical theory originates from, it's virtually the opposite of a biblical worldview. And wokeness and Marxism has to eradicate the Christian worldview and Christians and Christianity. There can be no tolerance of that according to that worldview. And there's a pretty clear paper trail about that. Finally, from the Childers podcast, there's a positive suggestion. Okay, if we can't label ourselves as Christian nationalists, then we want a label. They said that the idea of being a Christian federalist might be a good thing. So by that, they mean that seeking to live and work within our founding principles, documents, and system to bring the rule of law to bear. And to bring, after all, there's abundant historical evidence that biblical principles and morality are the foundation of our legal system anyway. In the House chamber, in our Capitol, you cannot be on that podium and not see Moses' face staring directly at you from the back wall, Moses being acknowledged there as the lawgiver. And so, wow, how wonderful is that? So I hope some of this gives you some food for thought and some ammunition of your own to be able to kind of reject some of those false labels and then help to speak real truth to people. I'm going to conclude with a quote and a prayer. We've been talking mainly about how to handle the blanket criticism of those in the secular world seeking to silence Christians entirely. But my quote now kind of addresses people from within the church. People call them the people on the Christian left. Okay, and I don't think, these people I'm going to name are kind of pretty clearly along that side. David French, Russell Moore, Jim Wallace, who are kind of speaking against us or muddying the waters that, we on the Christian so-called Christian right, are speaking, and they on the Christian left. Have a perfectly equal, of course they have free speech to listen to, but their arguments are equally valid, which biblically we really don't feel like they are. Now, because of God's call for us to be unified, I'm really conflicted over this, but I just have to say, and I this is where I am right now, I just see so little wiggle room between the two parties when you consider biblical truth, a balanced perspective of history, a balanced perspective on our system of government, its founders and its founding principles. It's my personal struggle. I cannot understand how someone can vote for the Democratic Party right now and be thinking biblically. Once again, that's just my personal struggle. I want to follow Jesus primarily. I want to be unified with people who are truly my brothers and sisters. But I just think that there's room. We need to talk about this. Now, the Republican and conservative side are all human, and it's very flawed too. But like I said, there's no comparison in my mind. There's no such thing as utopia, and we can't expect that there'll be a candidate that will bring in utopia. Okay, the quote is from the book I'm reading right now about the menace of wokeness in the church. It's called Wimpy, Weak, and Woke. It's by John L. Cooper. Now, the quote is kind of long, but it presents kind of a dialogue and some questions we can ask to those in Christian circles who are tempted to kind of go along with the culture's anti-American current, which just seems to be very much in vogue in many circles. Here's the quote. Put this in the back of your mind as we discuss postmodernism and morality. Many Christian leaders and organizations have exhibited a rising streak of anti-Americanism. It's not that I want them to be patriotic, but I think it's worth asking the question, why are they anti-American? What are they suggesting to replace America with after they tear her down? While it's true that Christians are called to give their ultimate allegiance to Christ and his kingdom, and at times Christians have wrongly confused America with the kingdom of God, this doesn't nullify the fact that God ordained nations, borders, and boundaries. The alternative that many Christian elites seem to be promoting, to disintegrate nationhood and promote globalism that makes us citizens of the world rather than citizens of America, is utterly terrifying. While I agree that we should recognize and speak the truth regarding America's sins and shortcomings, it doesn't mean that we should join in the systemic destruction of the country and her founding principles, if those principles are good. However, the truth is that the revolution against America is not due to historical injustices, but to its very existence. Its ideas, its principles, its belief in physical reality and truth, and especially its foundation in Christianity, these are all seen as intolerably wicked. The question for evangelical leaders is, do you think these ideals are good? That's the end of the quote. So the question for every one of us, including these Christian naysayers, we should be able to answer that question. If the principles are good, why are they not worth preserving and reviving? Okay, here's the bottom line one more time, and then we'll conclude with a prayer. Don't let the label of Christian nationalist intimidate you or silence you. It's an evil game being played against us. But also, let's not call ourselves by that label either. So here's the prayer. So the context of the prayer is Holy Week and Easter, but it touches on prayer for courage, strength, and joy. It's from a book of prayers that I really like called The Valley of Vision, and I've adapted it from the first person to the third person so I can pray on behalf of all of us. Here's the prayer. Pray with me. Lord, grant us to stand with our dying Savior, to be content to be rejected, to be willing to take up unpopular truths, and to hold fast despised teachings until death. Help us to be resolute and Christ-contained. Never let us wander from the path of obedience to thy will. Strengthen us for the battles ahead. Give us courage for all the trials and grace for all the joys. Help us be holy, happy people, free from every wrong desire, from everything contrary to thy mind. Grant us more and more of the resurrection life. May it rule us. May we walk in its power and be strengthened through its influence. That's the end of the Valley of Vision prayer. And I conclude, Lord, in the name of, the power of, and to the glory of the risen Christ. Amen. Well, thanks for listening today. Once again, we're informing and empowering truth seekers to take their place in the good fight. Are you getting a little bit more clarity about what yours might be? We'd love to hear from you at goodfight71@gmail.com. Keep up the good fight. The duty is ours. The results are God's. On behalf of Denver and myself, God bless you, and let's keep it up. Goodbye.